My name's Arinda, I'm an addict. Well, it's a privilege to be sitting here, and I'm going to say to a couple of members of the committee, stop making me laugh, because I'm just sitting here in hysterics, but it's good to be here, and it's good to be in a meeting. And it's a privilege to do a share, always, because I'm clean and I've got a clean life, and it's a million miles away from where it was before. You know, I've had a really good day today, I've had a good week. You know, last sort of 3-4 weeks I've been in a lot of fear, really kind of self-centred. I was going back to college and I had all that anxiety and all that kind of, oh, you know, I'm going back to college and am I going to be good enough, and, you know, kind of switching. And we had the induction last Saturday and I went from kind of, I'm crap, everyone's better to me, than to, how the hell did that person get on this course, I'm better than them, and that real kind of extremity, do you know what I mean? I can still go to that place today. But the main difference today is that I turn up for life, I do college, you know, I turn up for me, I've got a great relationship with myself as a result of being in these rooms and doing the work. You know, before I would have done that, I would have been so caught up in self-centred fear, I would have given up. If I couldn't do good enough, and I couldn't do it perfectly, I wasn't going to do it at all. And that's pretty much how my life was beforehand, really, really, really debilitated. With self-centred fear, low self-worth, and my solution to that was using. And it wasn't just using, do you know what I mean? I did a lot of stuff before that, you know, I stole, I acted out, fantasy was a good one for me, you know, books, films, anything that would take me outside of myself and not have to be with me and deal with Arinda as Arinda is, I just wouldn't do it. So, you know, when I came into recovery, I came with that self-centred fear, I came in with that self-obsession, I came in with a lot of pride, and, you know, I was miserable, I was unhappy, I couldn't stop using, and if I did stop using, the best that I could do is reward myself with buying a bag of gear for the fact that I didn't do gear for a day, 2 days, 3 days, if I was lucky. And, you know, that's kind of quite clear-cut how insane I was, and, you know, I hid a lot behind working, I worked throughout my using, And when I came in, I kind of, you know, I thought I was okay, you know, I kind of came to meetings and I kind of fuel up. There was something in these rooms that I kind of liked and I kind of related and I could identify with people. And then I'd go away feeling kind of all right and then I wouldn't come back. So I thought, I don't really need those meetings. It's amazing, you know, all these people getting together, helping each other stay clean. Wow, how wonderful is that? But I don't need that. Those poor people, do you know what I mean? It was right, that really, really pride and arrogance. And, I thought I could drink, I thought I could smoke weed, because that was all right, it was acceptable. You guys didn't know me, do you know what I mean? I kind of came with that real head, and I worked in the drugs field before I came into recovery. So I thought I had all the knowledge, do you know what I mean? I knew how to kind of sort myself out, but clearly I didn't, because I wouldn't have been here in the first place, do you know what I mean? I could not stay clean, and we all know what that place is, you know what I mean? I hit my rock bottom, I was emotionally fucked, you know, I didn't see my family, I hadn't seen my family for about a year and a half, and, you know, I hated myself so much by the time I got here, I didn't want to see anyone, I didn't want to be around anyone, because all I was carrying around was shame and guilt. Misery, unhappiness, and I just looked at myself and I thought, how sad am I? And I barely look at myself in the mirror. It was really, it's just sad, it was just horrible, it was horrific, and I needed help and I knew that. So after being in therapy, I came around and I carried around a lot of pride and I drank and I picked up my first 30-day curing and my 60-day curing and I wasn't clean, do you know what I mean? Because I was still drinking and I thought that was acceptable and you lot didn't, you know, you didn't know. But all I did was kind of, you know, I just carried around more shame and guilt really, do you know what I mean? Because it wasn't working, I was miserably unhappy, you know, things weren't changing for me at all and they weren't changing quick enough, do you know what I mean? And then I finally came in after kind of 7 months of dilly-dallying around in my denial, kind of rationalising how different I was from all you, just lying to myself constantly in, you know, I was just full of shit really. And I came in and I came to a meeting and I asked for help, I shared a newcomer's time and I stayed clean since that day. And I kind of just said that I couldn't do it, you know, I wanted help, I didn't want this life anymore, I wanted my life back. you know, I just didn't want it anymore. And at the end of the meeting, somebody nominated me for a literature commitment, which I was too scared to say no, so I said yes. But, you know, for me, that worked. I got to that meeting every week. I took pride in that commitment. You know, doing that sort of commitment was a big thing for me, and it's not the same for everyone. I do think we have to be careful about giving newcomers a commitment straight off. Some people it works and that's great. For others it doesn't. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves. And we already come with a lot of shame and guilt and all this pressure and feeling like shit and hating ourselves and all the rest of it. And, you know, if you're new around and you're not ready to take a commitment, that's all right. Do 90 meetings in 90 days. Get stuck around the fellowship. Do you know what I mean? There is an answer here. There is a solution. You can have a life away from using. But anyway, for me it worked, and I know it does for others as well. And, you know, and I started going to different meetings, and that committee kind of held me together, really. You know, they really supported me and they really loved me, and I started going to other meetings, and I did struggle. I didn't kind of make friends, and I used to come to this meeting, and it's changed for me, because then I liked coming here because I could just sit down, not talk to anyone, and I'd watch everyone shimming around, talking to each other, and it was so big, as you can see, that, you know, I could kind of sit and just be, do you know what I mean? I didn't have to worry about sharing back or anything like that. I mean, it's changed for me since then, do you know what I mean? I've been a big part of this meeting. 5 minutes, oh. But yeah, and I cut a long story short, I kind of started to look for a sponsor. Somebody, you know, the committee kept saying to me, you know, do the step work, because after a while it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough coming to meetings. It wasn't enough kind of doing the service commitment and just kind of getting through. You know, my head was just constantly on the go, rattling around, and it was just noise. Do you know what I mean? All it was noise, and the misery started coming back, the discontent started coming back, and I didn't find it easy finding a sponsor. In the first 10 months I went through 4 of them. But I did take something from all of them, do you know what I mean? They all gave me something that I went away with, and one of them got me into a daily program straight away, you know, praying, reading literature. You know, I mean, they wanted me to read a lot of literature, trust me, but I kind of read about a page or two every day, and things started to stick out for me, and I started resonating with things. I started reading things that I related to, but my story, do you know what I mean? What happened to me, but the feelings and stuff like that I could really, really relate to. And the denial and the rationalising and kind of never, ever, ever feeling right in my life, the fear, the kind of... just got bored, you know, I just got bored throughout my life. As far back as I can remember, I just got bored really quickly, was never happy, nothing was enough, and I just wanted more, and I wanted it really quickly. So, you know, and there was that kind of stuff, and doing a gratitude list, you know, and that kept me going, do you know what I mean? And before I knew it, the noise had started to kind of quieten, it wasn't there. And I was just getting a little bit more at peace. And then, you know, eventually I found a sponsor that I've got now. And I love this woman, you know, dearly. She's funny, very funny. She's got a great sense of humour. She laughs at me a lot. And, you know, that's good for me, do you know what I mean? Because I can take myself too seriously. And there's a lot of other people who laugh at me as well, who I call my friends in recovery, and wind me up and all the rest of it, because, you know... But that's okay, do you know what I mean? It's important for me to laugh, you know, because my life was miserable before and it's not now. And I started to work through the steps. And for me, you know, having the relationship I have with her, it's open, it's honest, she's loving, she's caring, but I have to put the work in. My recovery is my responsibility, it's not hers. When I drag my heels, I feel the pain. When I do the work, I gain with the benefits, and I do feel it. You know, I love change, which is what recovery's given me. I love my life today massively, like I cannot tell you. I don't walk around with that self-centered fear all the time. You know, I can kind of get rid of it. I connect to a higher power. I have a higher power in my life, a God of my understanding, and it works for me. It's a huge and important part of my recovery. You know, I've been on holiday where I haven't been able to get to meetings. I've taken chair CDs. I've prayed. I've read literature, and I get through. I don't have to sit in the madness of my illness and my head. You know, and, you know, I'm living a life of freedom from active addiction. I still have to deal with life on life's terms. It's not always easy. But you know what? I have the ability to deal with it today. I don't have to run. I don't have to lay blame. And I don't have to use. That is the biggest part of it. And I'll end on this. You know, today I had my first cycling lesson. I can drive a car on a fucking coach and I can't ride a push bike. And you know what? It was great and I can fucking ride a bike. You know, recovery gives you a lot of stuff. Before I would have had too much pride and too much ego to kind of, you know, let myself be humiliated in a park. And today I can ride a bike, so I'm really fucking proud. If you're new around, please stick around. If life is shit when you're trying to stop using and you can't. Do you know what I mean? You have got nothing to lose. You have got everything to gain here. And I'll leave it there. Thank you for listening.